mercy fills the streets to look upon the one.
You're listening to WCNO Palm City.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report, a weekly news briefing on religious liberty news, a program hoping to educate, encourage, support, and equip you, our listeners, on important issues of our day, but always approaching the issues from a biblical worldview.
Welcome to the Religious Liberty Report. Alexander Alfano reporting in this second week of January 2026. We're a Christian legal ministry advocating for religious liberties and freedom of conscience. On the air, working to keep America open to God's truth. The church's call to be the moral and the cultural conscience of the nation. And our goal is to educate, encourage, support, and equip our listeners on how to approach the issues of our day from a biblical worldview. The idea is not to win debates, but to win hearts, minds, and souls. Our goal is to approach the issues from a biblical worldview. And we've identified the four great questions of life. Who am I? Where did I come from? Why am I here? And where am I going when I die? Your worldview determines how you answer these four great questions of life. Without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. Freedom of conscience, our most important freedom. This radio broadcast is intended to help equip churches on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture too often disagreeing with our message. Because we live in a culture that aggressively challenges our faith. Let us pray. Dear God, please teach me, help me, hold me, help me. I want to be better today and tomorrow than I was yesterday. Amen. Turning to page one of the report. Over a million Iranians have converted to Christianity. It is reported that Iran has the fastest growing church in the world. And Christianity is the second largest non-Muslim minority religion in the country. In Iran, it is currently illegal to distribute Christian literature in the official language Persian, also known as Farsi. Muslims who change their faith or convert to Christianity are subject to extreme persecution, societal and official pressure, which can sometimes lead to the death penalty. Although the civil code does not provide explicitly for the death penalty, it does provide for the crime of conversion to Christianity as being punishable by fines, lashings, and prison terms. Additionally, judges can impose the death penalty if they desire. Iran, number 10 in the most recent Open Doors International World Watch rankings of the most oppressive countries in the world, persecuting Christians, believers, the faithful. Christians in Iran, especially converts, face severe discrimination and persecution, with forced conversions, arrests, imprisonment, harassment, and restrictions on worship, despite constitutional protections. Leading groups like the U.S. Commission on International Religious Freedom has labeled Iran a country of particular concern for religious freedom violations, continuous, ongoing persecution of the faithful in Iran. Currently, it is illegal to distribute Christian literature in the official language of Iran, Persian. And Muslims who change their faith, who convert, to Christianity are subject to more severe penalties, the most extreme, persecution. Iran, listed number 10 of nations in the world, annual ranking by Open Doors International of the countries that exact the most persecution against the Christian church. There are Christian minorities in Iran, Armenian, Assyrian Christians, but only permitted to have Bibles in their own languages and forbidden to proselytize or evangelize or hand out literature in public. Multiple Persian translations and versions of the Bible have been translated in recent times. Although distribution of Christian literature in Persian is currently illegal, Christians in Iran facing severe discrimination and persecution. While officially recognizing Christian minorities like Armenian and Assyrian Christians, Christianity continues to be severely penalized in the country of Iran. Arrests, imprisonment. Converts to Christianity often and frequently arrested, charged with crimes like apostasy, acting against national security, or propaganda against the system, given harsh sentences in prison, discrimination, Christians facing barriers in employment, education, societal life, with their faith often leading to dismissal from jobs or expulsion from universities. The Islamic Republic of Iran, under pressure in recent weeks, mass protests. We'll get to that in a moment. Forced conversion. There's pressure on Christians in Iran, especially the children of Christian parents. Pressure to convert and return back to Islam or face consequences. A surveillance state. Intelligence agencies closely monitoring Christian activities, especially online, social media. Open Doors International ranking the Islamic Republic of Iran as the 10th country in the world with most persecution of the faithful. In essence, while Iran's constitution may pay lip service to religious freedom, the reality is another. For many Christians, particularly evangelicals and converts to Christianity, it is a pervasive climate of fear, control, persecution. All this according to reports from human rights organizations, international bodies, reporting on the Islamic Republic of Iran. What does persecution look like in Iran? Christians in Iran heavily, systematically repressed. Authorities seeking to root out a faith that they see as a threat from the West. A threat from the West seeking to undermine Islamic rule. Those receiving most persecution in Iran are converts to Christianity. Those that convert from Islam to Christianity. Mostly in the firing line and house churches, commonly being raided with leaders, pastors, arrested, interrogated, pressured to inform, report on other believers, and many suffering long-term imprisonment. Under charges of so-called breaching national security, Christians in Iran being imprisoned. and conditions in Iranian prisons are dire. For believers who are released on bail or bond or some conditional release, this typically comes with strict conditions, such as exile to the frontier lands of Iran, or even denying the faith, self-censorship. Iranian Christians facing hostility from the government, but also from their families, from local communities. Every year, thousands upon thousands of Christian converts in Iran flee the country to escape persecution. As Iran cracks down on protests, Christians are speaking up. This time, believers in the Iranian diaspora are praying more explicitly, openly, clearly, for the fall of the Ayatollahs, the mullahs, the country's rulers and leaders. It started on December 28, 2025. Tens of thousands of Iranians flooding city streets across all 31 provinces, protesting against the mullahs and Ayatollahs, even setting mosques ablaze, chanting for the return of the crown prince. The Islamic regime has responded with brutality, casualties mounting in recent days, as the death toll rising to thousands, some calculating as much as 20,000 and more, killed in the streets, mowed down with machine gun fire. The regime has shut down the internet as of January 8th. But some Iranians are finding ways to bypass the blackout, posting videos on social media showing widespread uprisings and the regime's bloody crackdown. This is a pivotal moment in history for Iran and for Iranian Christians. Prayer is a potent weapon for all those involved. And I'll remind you again that in Iran, over a million Iranians have converted to Christianity in recent years. Over a million. And some reports are saying that Iran has the fastest growing Christian church in the whole world. Praying for our Christian brothers and sisters in Iran. Praying even for the persecutors in Iran. Hoping they'll have a change of heart, that they too will be converted to the truth. Prayer, a potent weapon for Iran. Iran has been an Islamic republic for 47 years. And although it is illegal for Christians to evangelize in Iran, the country's constitution allows them to practice their faith. Iran also has much pride in their education system. One of the most educated in the world. You can buy Bibles on the streets in Iran, even today. In fact, some of the oldest Bibles in the world are in Iran, dating back to 800 or 1000 AD. Some of the earliest Christian Bibles preserved today. And we know that our Old Testament talks to us about Cyrus the Great, the founder, actually, of the Persian Empire. Cyrus, a significant figure in the Bible. In fact, in Scripture, he's portrayed as God's chosen instrument, or anointed one, to liberate the Jewish people from Babylonian captivity, authorizing, decreeing from ancient Persia the rebuilding of Jerusalem and its temple. the book of Isaiah prophesied his coming by name, his exact and precise name, over 150 years before Cyrus the Great was born. The prophet Isaiah, referencing Cyrus, calling him God's shepherd and Messiah, for fulfilling this pivotal role of rebuilding Jerusalem and the temple. Truly a rare distinction for a foreigner, a pagan king, really, at the end of the day, making him a unique figure in Jewish and biblical history. The prophecy fulfilled, Isaiah 44, verses 28. Isaiah 45, verses 1, directly naming Cyrus, describing his mission to free the exiles and rebuild the temple, which he did. He did exactly that after conquering Babylon. You're tuned in to the Religious Liberty Report, Alexander Alfano reporting, the second week of January, 2026. Thank you for joining me, talking about Iran, talking about ancient prophecy fulfilled in the book of Isaiah, talking about persecution of the faithful in the Islamic Republic of Iran. Although Cyrus was a polytheistic pagan Persian king, he had a divine purpose, shown in the Bible as being used by God, the God of Israel, for his redemptive purposes, demonstrating God's sovereignty over all nations. Cyrus the Great, known for his policy of respecting conquered people's cultures and their religions. At the end of the day, Cyrus the Great is a powerful example in the Bible of how God can use anyone, even a non-believer, to accomplish his divine plans for his people. In this case, his chosen people, the nation of Israel. Cyrus the Great, commonly referred to as Cyrus II of Persia, the founder of the Persian Empire. An empire that expanded vastly across most of Western Asia and much of Central Asia, becoming one of the largest empires in history at the time. An empire reaching from Southeast Europe to the Indus Valley in the east. Cyrus the Great, referred to as the king of the four corners of the world, in about 550 BC, prophesied in the book of Isaiah. All this to say that the modern kingdom of Persia, Iran, is experiencing a pivotal moment in its history. It's been an Islamic republic for 47 years, since 1979, when the Ayatollahs took the government, overthrew the Shah of Iran. Christians have been caught in the Iranian protests and in the violence. Christian leaders are urging prayer at this urgent moment. Christians have been shot at and killed as police respond to protests across Iran. Communicating through Starlink satellite links, bypassing government-enforced internet blackouts. Christians in Iran reporting on Christians being shot and killed. Christians in harm's way. Names slowly trickling out. Names of those killed in protests in the past 2-3 weeks. We still don't know how many have been killed, how many Christians are among the dead. Christians are likely among the many dead. Some say as many as 20,000 killed in Iranian streets. Very likely, many Christians among the dead, because one reporter said Christians are out there in Iran. One report that came in said that at least one wounded person accepted Christ after a Christian nurse took him into her home, treating his wounds and sharing the gospel. The person reporting saying, "I was wounded in the streets. Someone took me home. I was fleeing, bleeding. A nurse dressing my wounds, and then I realized they were Christians. They shared the gospel with me, and I just came to Christ." Details elusive as they come out of Iran, urging believers to pray for Iranians risking their lives for freedom, a growing humanitarian crisis. At the same time, this is a moment for the church to rise, to shine. "Please pray for Iran," pleaded one pastor. "We urgently ask the international church to stand in the gap, become the voice for those who have been forced into silence. Please help bring awareness by speaking out." Talk about it in your churches and call on news agencies, leaders, institutions to report the truth about what is happening in Iran. The people of Iran are crying out, and they need the world to hear them. To be silent is not simply to remain neutral, it's to abandon our brothers and sisters. Christians are bringing light amid the evil. Many treating the wounded in underground churches, in the homes of believers, hoping to avoid certain arrest in hospitals as security forces wait for them to come into the hospitals. Christians taking food, water into crowds of protesters amid Iran's humanitarian crisis. U.S. President Donald Trump threatening military intervention in Iran on behalf of protesters, saying, "Help is on the way. Help is on the way. Let's pray for President Trump and for other leaders in the region, for Israel. Any who are considering coming to help. May God use these and not the enemy, that there will be a positive influence for the gospel and for all in Iran." A call to prayer for Iranians and Iranian Christians, encouraging them to persevere. In one video, a young Iranian man is heard and seen telling police to kill him because he had no life anyway. "Kill me, I'm young, but I've never had a life. I've never lived. Kill me." A young protester facing off against police in Iran. So let us pray for our brothers and sisters in the Church of Iran, that they'll be protected, strengthened, encouraged in the midst of extreme persecution, that they continue to pray, to serve, and faithfully follow Jesus from inside of the country of Iran. many gathering in secret, many risking imprisonment, torture, death, for worshiping Christ. Yet many remaining steadfast, firm, standing, interceding not only for themselves, but for the salvation and freedom of others, their neighbors, their nation. Let's pray for the church in Iran to be strengthened, unified, that it be fearless and filled with hope. Pray for an immediate end to the violence and the killing of innocent people. Pray for truth to be exposed, and for justice, accountability to prevail. Pray for comfort for grieving families. Let's pray for healing for the wounded and the traumatized. Pray for restored communication and the lifting of information blackouts in the Islamic Republic of Iran. You're tuned in to the Religious Liberty Report, Alexander Alfano reporting, the second week of January 2025. In this new year, a new beginning. Sometimes a new beginning is not a new year or a new place, but a new heart. A forgiven and a healed heart. The Religious Liberty Report, a Christian legal ministry. Advocating for religious freedom, religious liberties, freedom of conscience. Studying the First Amendment. Studying constitutional law as it applies to believers and to the church. This week at the U.S. Supreme Court, justices on the court inclined, apparently inclined to allow states to do the obvious, to bar transgender athletes. A case raising important questions about protecting females, protecting women in sports. The justices addressing whether laws in West Virginia and Idaho violate the 14th Amendment's Equal Protection Clause and the federal anti-discrimination statute, Title IX. Two cases coming before the U.S. Supreme Court, Little versus Hecox and West Virginia versus BPJ, reviewing Fairness in Women's Sports Act and Safe Women's Sports Act, respectively. Liberty Counsel arguing in its brief to the court that Title IX recognizes the inherent physiological differences between males and females from birth. Gender identity has nothing to do with sports. Gender identity, like religion or nationality, does not change a person's biology or physicality, such as how far they can throw or how fast they can run. Jesus never promised his followers an easy path. In fact, he told his disciples that the world would hate them. He sent them out as sheep among wolves. Jesus' words came true in the lives of the apostles, and they're still coming true today in the lives of his followers around the world. Thank you for joining me on the report this week. Alexander Alfano signing off. Until next time, God bless you, and God bless America.
Thank you for tuning in to the Religious Liberty Report, a broadcast intended to help equip churches and ministries on how to remain faithful to our mission in a culture that too often disagrees with our message. Tune in next week as we follow up on freedom of conscience, because without freedom of conscience, we have no other liberties. Alexander Alfano reporting for the Religious Liberty Report.